This is Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous, the radio program that challenges the anti-aging cultural narrative for women in midlife. Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous is produced at CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus-based community station at Simon Fraser University, which is located on the unceded ancestral homelands of the Squamish, Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem peoples. We broadcast a new episode on the second Wednesday of the month between 10 and 11 a.m. Good morning. I am Robin Erickson. I talk with women who are aging outside the beauty myth and into their power, honoring their experience and celebrating their strength. This is episode number 3 of Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous. And today I'm very excited to have Marilyn Wilson as my guest today. Marilyn is a writer, an author of 2 books, and a speaker. And nice to have you with me. How are you doing this morning?
I'm just unwinding for the drive. For those, I came from the south end of Richmond to Simon Fraser, and of course there was an accident this morning, so I had 5 minutes to take a drink and get ready for you. I'm so delighted to be here.
It's always a challenge to get here, regardless of where you come from. Even on the bus today, when we were coming up and the road sort of splits and you can go to the left or to the straight up onto campus, and both directions was jammed right up. And when we came around the curve, the bus was in a very long lineup of cars waiting to get around a big trailer because there's construction everywhere, and it just, you know, it's the way it is and the way it has been for quite a while. But anyways, we are here.
I'm excited.
And we are going to talk about aging in light of daring, curiosity, and wisdom, and what that feels like, what that means, and how that sort of plays out in your life, Marilyn. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's get started. Before we do, though, I'm curious to know if you have sort of 3 qualities or 3 characteristics that you would consider your own triple threat, you know? What are those things that someone might go, oh, that's a powerful threesome that you exhibit?
I need to backtrack a little bit to answer that, because one thing I discovered over my journey, for those who don't know, I've been interviewing for a decade for magazines and books and stuff. So when I was growing up, one thing I discovered during that time in my 50s, which was a prime time, is that the traits I had growing up when I were young that people criticized me for were actually my superpowers. So I'm ADD, my mind races, I can go down 20 paths at once. When you're a child sitting in school, that's not a positive. You get bad feedback for it. I was intensely curious about everything. When you're a child, that overly intense curiosity comes across as, quote, nosy, unquote, or difficult because I got easily bored. So those 2 things, when I began interviewing, became my superpowers: the racing mind that could think ahead and listen to what was being said, and my insane curiosity about their life really helped people open up. So 2 of the things that I found in my 50s, I did not realize until then were my superpowers, were things I had as a child, but I got negative feedback for. So I just like to tuck this in everywhere, is that those lumps and bumps, your unique things that people want to change, are often your superpowers. So when you look for your trifecta, start there. It's just you haven't found the positive expression for them. And I think the third positive thing I had, and I did not realize that, and probably until the last couple of years, was that I have a really strong connection to my intuition. I just leap. I know when I should leap. And if I think about it at all, if it's a head decision, I don't do it. But when it hits me right in the gut and I leap, it always takes me sometimes to very hard places, but it gets me to new things. So the racing mind that thinks fast, the intense curiosity, and then that strong connection to my instincts. People say, where do you find people to interview? And I said, it hits me. I'll listen to somebody talk and get goosebumps and say, okay, they're on the list. So I'd say those are my three superpowers, and two were considered things they wanted me to change or would have drugged me for in today's thing. So I'm really grateful that I came to understand that. It was awakening in my 50s while I was interviewing when I said, wait a minute, this is good. I'm meant to be this way for a reason.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking a lot about that saying, and I'm absolutely paraphrasing because it's not in my mind, but something to the effect that, you know, the most terrifying thing is not the power outside of us, but the power inside of us and what makes us shine. And I think sometimes, you know, we do get shut down when we're pretty shiny.
I have a fabulous mentor, and she always says, I've been working with her for about 2 years now, and she always says, it's never about what somebody says, it's about your reaction. If you're solid in yourself and you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, whatever anybody else says might be annoying, but if it upsets you, then it's hitting something inside that you need to look at. Because once you dig out all those old tapes and erase them, the negatives that wanted to put you in a box you don't belong in or fit in, you just don't get that physical reaction to people. They annoy you, so you just walk away. It's not a big deal anymore. So every time I get upset about something that somebody said or done towards me, I just go home and look at myself and say, okay, what do I need to let go of? Because it shouldn't bother me. They have no effect on my life, really. And that's maybe not true of a boss and stuff, but you still have a choice in whether you react to what people say. So it's just a sign you have something to work on, it's something to let go of. And that's really helped take the stress off me. I was raised a long time ago in a very tiny town, and I was raised as a woman that if I was doing my job right and being the right person, people around me would be happy. And so it's been a really interesting journey in my 50s to realize I don't make anybody happy. I only make myself unhappy if I react to them. So it's just about making sure I'm solid and confident that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And once I'm there, it doesn't matter what the people outside say.
Yeah. Those are good words to take away, I think, regardless of what gender we are,
yes,
what age we are,
yes,
what identity, where we come from, because I think that's, you know, just sort of a universal human struggle,
yes,
in a lot,
yes,
of ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that that your trifecta mentioned, or you know, in the answer to my trifecta question, was that your tendency is just to sort of leap. Just
blindly into the deep end abyss. What the opposite side, and is not my superpower, is knowing how to deal with that. And because a lot of your listeners probably don't know, I ended up being a stay-at-home mom because my children were being bullied and they were not safe. And at the point they were in high school and ready for me to step back, they basically told me to find something to do. I'm intense. There's no doubt about it. And so I sat down and answered a Craigslist ad. There was a New York fashion magazine wanting submissions, and I thought, how hard can this be? I knew nothing about fashion. I grew up poor. Our money was tight. My husband cut my hair. My clothes were from Zellers. And I just just leaped. And at my first interview, I had goosebumps. It took me back to my early curiosity about people and my love of hearing them. I'd additionally pursued psychology, and I found it just too depressing for me. Mm. I wanted something with a more positive focus. And so this offered me something I dreamed about when I was young that I never even thought about before. It fell into my lap. But the journey to learn in the public eye with it, that magazine folded, nobody wanted me, I was old, went back to Craigslist and met somebody who wanted to start a fashion magazine. I still knew nothing. And so here I am at events looking like somebody's grandma, you know, just somebody from the burbs with kids, and I'm representing a magazine. And I didn't get good feedback. And there was long, hard days of crying and feeling I couldn't do it. And what carried me was those interviews, because every time I did an interview, I came out. So I'm a great leaper. I know exactly where I'm supposed to go. And I hope in the next decade, I learn to then take a breath and walk through it without so much stress and self-doubt. And the self-doubt comes after the leap when the mind checks in. The heart knows what you need to do, but the mind checks in. And especially as you're older, there is an ageism out there. It's not like everybody says, oh, Marilyn, oh my goodness, you're 55. We've been waiting for you. Where have you been? We want you to write. No, they look at you sideways. And I've been asked to step out of pictures before. So you have to really, at this age, know what you want. You have to be passionate about it. And you have to let your instincts guide you and then have the faith, which I didn't. You have to have the faith that you can walk through this one step at a time. And that's what my learning has been in the last few years, because I've even doing my first book, it took me 18 months to do a 6-month book. I was so convinced. I was told I was a procrastinator all my life. I couldn't finish. So I was sure that
right,
was
that self-talk was reinforcing and, those ideas.
And
right?
That's still hard for me to deal with. That's still a tape I'm struggling to erase. I would like to let go of. But fortunately, I learned through interviewing and all the experiences came to me when I was in my 50s and finally had the freedom to step out of the family and focus on me. I built a great tribe of support. I would not be where I am without them, and I leaned on them heavily, and in exchange, I offered the same. But the freedom that comes when your kids don't need you every day anymore, when your husband's willing to make his own supper, when you're suddenly not worried about the rent or putting food on the table or balancing the checkbook every day, the freedom to look for something you're passionate about and take it out of the job category and pursue it full tilt, you know, wind in your hair, you know, comes after 50 for most of us. And with people having children later now, I suspect this show will have to be 60-ish and up in another decade, because people are finding that freedom later. I won't even have pets now. I am so into my freedom, and I am so enjoying it. It's such a passionate, exciting time of life for me.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're daring?
I don't think I have a choice. I didn't fit in growing up. It was a very small religious box, and I could feel the disapproval across the room, but I always innately said, love me or hate me, let's get it over now. If you're not going to like me, I'd rather know it now. It was very hard. It was very hard growing up. So I'm endearing in that I choose to do what I'm driven to do, regardless of the consequences. I'm not daring walking into some social situations where I feel out of my league. So there's times I'm daring, but the daring is driven by the passion. What is it I really want to do today? And if I really want to do it, nobody can stop me. I'm like a dog with a bone. I get the ADD still, even at this age, brings that laser focus, and I hold on and I go for it despite the consequences. And sometimes there are consequences. But I feel that I'm led to do that because it's getting me somewhere.
Mm.
So I think we're all daring in our when it matters. When it really matters to us, you know, say your puppy is going to walk out in the road, or your child's being threatened, or your husband's very ill and you're not getting it. Like, there's all situations where we step up and say, no, this is not the way it's going to go, into protective mode. So it's just, for some people, they need to widen to include themselves personally. We're mm-hmm. always happy to be daring when it comes to the people we protect or love, or the things we love. But sometimes we forget to be daring just for ourselves, to carve out that little bit of time, because this is the time of life for your listeners, male or female, that I am asking you to step up and say, what purpose do I have? What interests do I have? This is the time. You might have 5 years, you might have 20. This is the time. Leap. What's the worst that can happen? You can't get sent to the principal's office anymore. You don't have to tell your friends you're doing it. You know? Leap. Enjoy yourself. Try something new, because if you don't, that's where you age. There's parts about aging we have no control over when it comes to health and relatives' health and certain limitations. We have a choice of keeping our mind young, and that involves daring and creativity and really trusting our heart and our instincts, tapping into that and looking for those open doors. Somebody said, will you keep writing? You've written 2 books, you've got 3 or 4 more. When are you going to write them? And I said, at this point, I don't know. What if I stop tomorrow? It's okay. There's nobody that can make me keep writing, and there's nobody that can make me stop writing. But if a new shiny thing comes up that becomes my new passion, I'm turning left and leaping again, and we'll see where it takes me. I'm happy.
I think that's an awesome point to take a song break and come back and talk a little bit about curiosity.
Okay.
Because creativity and, you know, what that next new shiny thing is sort of curious. You brought 2 songs along with you today to play. Which would you like to start with, and do you want to introduce it?
I love dance music. I love all kinds of music. I had this somber music picked out, Eva Cassidy, who I enjoy. And then I decided I wanted something upbeat, at least in tempo. So the first one I'm going to share with you is Bobby McFerrin, Be Happy. I can't listen to that without a smile on my face. And if you're having a rough start in traffic like I was today, it's a perfect way to lift your spirits.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry. Be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry. Be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry. Be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry. Be happy. When you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down.
so don't worry. Be happy, don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. Don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy. I'm not worried. I'm happy.
Welcome back to Triple Threat. Feminist, 50-ish, and fabulous. My name's Robin, and my guest is Marilyn Wilson today in the studio for this episode. And we've been talking a little bit about daring and how daring plays into aging and sort of aging with confidence and living with confidence as well. And in something that you said just before the song break there, it really made me think about how curiosity and our ability to remain curious about things as we age is of critical importance also. Whether that be through questioning and other kinds of inquiry, but also just, you know, to have that creativity play in our minds. And so how does that feel in your world?
Having had several relatives grow older, I think the example that they gave me was simply that so many people as they age get fearful. Life is on it. You don't know what your journey is. So they draw in and they stick with the comfortable and their home, their family, their beliefs. And they don't want any of that challenged because it challenges who they are in their life. And having never fit in the box, there's not a place for me in that. I think the other gift for me was simply falling into a new career where I was interviewing. You cannot listen to 150 people share their life story with you from birth to where they are now, cry, laugh, hear horrible things and successes and failures and wonderful things, and at the end realize they're not apologizing. They're not asking me to believe to live their life, and their definition of success is different. And over time, that's what led me to a place of self-acceptance. I wish I'd done this in my 20s or 30s. I learned so much from listening to other people. So part of curiosity is not being afraid. Part of curiosity is not needing to hold on to the normal, to not feel that your life or beliefs are challenged when you're exposed to people who believe or talk differently. I have found now that I have such a diverse group of friends, and sometimes they challenge me. They're from another ethnicity and say, Marilyn, you know, and then I stop and I look at it and I go, oh, and I try to see through their eyes. So my curiosity about people has really opened my world. It hasn't gone as much into things like painting and this and that, but I love to travel. I love to see architecture in cities. I love to be immersed in things outside myself. And as long as I can continue to embrace that, I feel like I keep myself young, because I feel like people get, not physically, mentally get old when they shrink their world to only the things they're comfortable with. And curiosity, if you will let it guide you, really leads you on a journey that keeps you from that. So it's like, it's curiosity keeps you out of Alzheimer's, of living when you're old. You know, it keeps you, you shouldn't be threatened by the world and how it's changing. Just embrace it. If you can't do it, say, oh, I'm old, I'm along for the ride, take me with you. Life doesn't have to be fearful as you get old. It can be opening up if you allow it, and look for the opportunities, where to live, what groups to be a part of. My husband's father, who has long since passed, I met him at the age of 72, and my husband said he's a boring person. He doesn't do anything. He was not social, not curious. He, at 72, joined a seniors bicycling group and left for 4 months to ride down the Gold Coast of Australia and tour New Zealand. There you go. You know, you can always find something that will take you out of your little cocoon as you age, and open the world for you. So, yeah, even now with the internet, if you can learn to use it now, even when you can't get out, the world is out there. I'm doing virtual reality now. I'm playing games and doing Beat Saber, and all my friends look at me cross-eyed, but it's standing, it's eye-hand coordination, it's this. But more than that, where I see this going in the future is for people who cannot travel for reasons, if they can do 3D virtual walkthroughs in the Louvre, it's exciting to see these new technologies. So instead of being afraid of them and backing up and saying, oh, it doesn't interest me, those aren't my kind of people. I hear these things all the time. Those shrink your world. Mm-hmm. So instead, you just got to open up and leap. But let your curiosity guide you. We're all not meant to be interested in everything. I know somebody who went back to acting in her 50s. She raised a child. She did all this stuff and said, geez, I always like acting. And she's booking parts and having a wonderful time. And her career has taken off in her 50s.
Yeah, I think there's no particular barrier, as long as you say, we sort of open ourselves to the opportunities and kind of embrace what that is and what that means to us. You know, there's an older woman on the internet who has become a little bit of an idol for me. I must say, she's older than 67 now, but when she was 67, she donned a helmet and elbow pads and knee pads, and she taught herself how to skateboard.
Good and for her.
Right? And now she is teaching the youth how to skateboard. And not just like stand on the board and skate down the street, but, you know, do tricks and, you know, ride the half pipe and all of these fancy things. And she is obviously out of place in certain ways within the youth community, but she just threw caution to the wind and, you know, decided that this was something that she was going to learn. And I just, thinking about her gives me such an amount of joy.
Yeah. And you know, the truth is, even if she had not been able to get really good at it, that's not the point.
No.
She did it because she was interested, and fortunately it turned out something she could really embrace, and it opened a door. But when you start with your curiosity, every door that opens won't be a path that you follow for a long time. It's a fun room to play in.
For sure.
There's a couple of actors locally I met recently, and I would love to interview. I've seen them in a series of unfortunate events. They're two ladies. They're very short. They have white hair, little top knot, little glasses, cute as buttons, nicest people you ever met. They decided at the age of 72 they were too shy, so they would take up acting. And they're getting parts, and they're having a wonderful time. And everywhere they go, everybody wants a picture with them because they are just joyful to be around.
Right.
And they're just grateful for everything they do. But 72, can you imagine sitting with your sister? Well, I don't have one, but sitting with your sister at 72 and say, "We're so shy, we don't get out. Let's go sign up with an acting agent." That's called leaping, and it doesn't matter how much they act or how little. It's just joyful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And whether it takes them into fame and fortune isn't the point either. So, yeah.
But what a new career at 72. May I be so lucky.
For sure. Yeah, me too. Oh, my goodness. Are there still in this curiosity vein, are there things that you aim to understand at this stage of life, at this point in your life?
I am so insanely curious by nature. I've really never thought about it. I just go in one step at a time with my eyes open. That's why interviewing was so great, because 150 people were 100 different interviews, 150 ways of living, 150 attitudes about politics and religion, and I found that intriguing. After I've been doing it for 12 years now, I can feel that it hasn't got quite the shiny. I usually change every 4 years because I get bored. So I've done this for 12 years now. So the question is, do I keep doing it? I'm not sure. But I have my radar up, and I'm looking for that next, that looks interesting. In the meantime, I've done some things like calligraphy, or somebody will say, "Hey, you want to come try this?" "Oh, yeah, sure." We're going to go for 3 weeks to Spain. We haven't traveled much, so I'm really looking for, we're driving for the first time in a foreign country.
Mm.
But it's all about just being my eyes open, what's around you for me, because it's such so innate with me. I've never really had to think about it. I went to New York by myself a couple years ago, and I think the prime example was I was walking up the street to find the walkway on the elevated old railway. There's a skywalkway. And I'm walking along, and I'm taking pictures of artwork on buildings, and I found this little tiny one-lot park tucked in between two buildings in honor of some women that in the middle of New York. And I'm finding all these things, and I suddenly realized everybody was rushing past me to get to this walkway, and they didn't see anything on the way. So I'm always trying, I guess when I look at that, I'm always aware of my surroundings. I'm always talking to people. Before I went in the Fit Museum, I talked to the old black guard. He was probably 72, and I arranged to have coffee with him, and then it didn't work out. But I think I've just always got my eyes wide open. And I'm open to learning anything. Probably don't want to build an airplane. There's some things like that. But I went to the museum that has the Spruce Goose and looked at all the engines and toured the Spruce Goose. So, yeah, I don't know if there is, because I've had 12 years of people handing me wisdom in interviews.
Mm.
I feel pretty solid on that. And I feel it's time for me to start handing this wisdom on. And that was, I'm not necessarily here to talk about my books, but that was the point of my second book, was simply to share my journey and all the pieces of gold people have been putting in my pockets. I felt like I was filled with wisdom that needed to put on. So now that maybe I've blown my pipes out, I can start looking at what I want to learn next.
Right. Yeah. Is there something when you think about it that you were curious as a kid about that is still sticky?
I always wanted to write a fiction book. I don't know if one's in me. I always wanted to skydive. I haven't done that yet. I have a significant birthday coming up in January, but that's not really a good month to skydive.
Depends where you are in the world, I suppose.
I've hit so many of those things recently. I've always wanted to sing a song on stage. I'm not a fabulous singer, but I grew up around a lot of music, but that's one I'm still a little shy of. But I I faced my fear of speaking and found I really like speaking. I've written a book, and I thought I'd never finish a book. I've written two. I've hit so many milestones in this last probably 3 or 4 years in particular, working with this one mentor. It's just been sometimes a little too fast, all coming too fast. But I sort of felt like in January of next year, I was going to sit down and really look at that question. I just feel I'm a little busy right now because I've knocked so many things off my list that what do I want this next 5 years to be like? And at the start of every year, I usually pick a theme. Sometimes it's celebration, sometimes it's self-acceptance, sometimes it's giving back. I haven't got my theme for this next year, and my goals will probably wrap around that theme. It's better than having things you want to achieve. A theme gives you a direction.
Yes.
Because sometimes the things you want to achieve are good things to aim at, but getting there sidetracks you from something more interesting. Right now I'm just in a place where I've had so much growth in the last 4 or 5 years that I don't feel ready to see what's next. I feel like I'm in like the bride, the fiance. I have anticipation of what's to come. And it's going to be something new. I mean, some people are suggesting a podcast. It's so far that's not looking shiny to me. But I feel for my writing to continue, I need some way to reinvigorate it. And there's so many options right now. I'm not sure exactly where that's going to be. So I'm just kind of waiting for my instinct to say, leap now. And then I leap and then I go, what have I done?
Right. Yeah.
And I figure it out. So much for training.
Well, you know, life trains you for a lot of things that sometimes until you get in the middle of the muck, yeah. You don't realize that you have a bunch of skill that enables you to do this thing.
Yeah.
I do have this sort of innate feeling that the universe does put us into situations and into places that we, you know, we're able to carry the burden of whatever that is.
Keeps life exciting. I would have shriveled and died without interviewing. Here I was, 50 years old, tried to get a job. They wanted to pay me $12. And because what I was good at it, they kept firing people and loading my desk up. They fired 4 people before I quit. But there is a sense that I was not worthwhile. I ran a family. I did dance costuming from home. I taught programs at the nature park. I went into school and taught science in elementary school. I was always busy, and I was competent, but they didn't want to pay me. I felt very disrespected. So being able to pick a path that let me define what the success was without worrying about buying the groceries. We certainly don't have a lot of money. We have to be careful with what we have, but I don't have to balance a checkbook every day. And if my books don't bring in a big paycheck, they're not a waste. I can do things for the sheer passion of it. So this direction truly saved me because I was not getting good feedback when I tried to get back out in the job market. And I have control of my life. I have control of my destiny. If I want to turn left tomorrow, I turn left tomorrow. And that's the joy of aging. That is the blessing that comes with it. You need to embrace that and quit apologizing to people. Too many of my friends are still kowtowing to their friends and family and trying to fit in that box. Let the box go. Burn it.
Let the box go. Maybe I should change the name of the show to Let the Box Go.
I guess I've been a feminist since I was really young, and that's hard to define. I'm not that I study, but I've never felt less a person. I have recognized where the doors wouldn't open. And so sometimes you have to get creative and pick a path that gets you where you want to go around people's, the way people try to hold you back. But it's just the sky's always been the limit. The only thing holding me back is my insecurity, saying, oh, you can't do that. And that comes from the old tapes. You just recognize they're there and have to find a way around them.
For sure. Yeah. We're going to pause for another song break and then be back to talk a little bit about wisdom.
Oh, boy.
I know. My guest on this show is Marilyn Wilson, a local writer, author, and speaker. And do you want to introduce the next song that you brought along to play?
I just wanted to find something that went along the same line with an uplifting tune. So I picked Blackbird, and I picked the version by Sarah McLachlan because she is local and I love supporting local. So no real point to it other than it's just a happy tune.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you're only waiting for this moment to rise. Singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to be free.
And thank you for tuning in. This is Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous. And my guest in the studio is Marilyn Wilson. And thank you for being my guest today.
I'm having so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about leaping into age and all of what that brings. And how important it is to just remain open to possibilities, and all of the things that can bring into our lives that you know, maybe unexpected little pieces of gold, and now I want to spend the last sort of 15 minutes of the show. Talking about the wisdom that maybe you've gained over your life, and you know what you feel like you have gained and maybe have to share even.
That's such a big question.
It is.
About 5 years into interviewing is when I realized I was changing. All that wisdom that people were sharing with me was sticking, and that I was coming to a place of self-acceptance. I was coming to understand myself better, and I was coming to the place I could be more accepting of other people because of that. And so I always tell people, you know, you start by learning to accept your own uniqueness. It all starts inside, and then and it's what we want from people. And then once we reach that point, then we can turn around and be more open to the people around us. Everybody around you has something to share with you. And a good number of them are pieces of gold in their pocket they need to hand you that are perfect for this point in your life. I remember the moment it really hit for me how much I'd learned from people. I was sitting in the audience at a powerhouse women's speaker series, and my friend gets on stage and starts with this opening line, "Do you see what I see?" And I didn't hear the rest of what she said. I was hit so profoundly like that, because now when I walk into a room, I stand there and I wait a minute and I see who I feel drawn to, and I go over and open a conversation. They have wisdom waiting for me, or sometimes I have something they need to hear that day. So wisdom is all around us. My second book, that's what it was about. I feel like I'd filled my house to overflowing with wisdom from everybody else, and I just needed to pass it on. So the biggest things for me, having come up in an environment where I felt I was broken, that something was wrong with me, that nobody was going to like me if they knew the icky person I was inside, is that each of us is born exactly who we are meant to be. And often those lumps and bumps that are unique, that make us stand out and bring criticism or teasing, are our superpowers, here they've said, but it's our talents. And wrapped around those talents is where our passion lies. So if you're still feeling that those same things are bad, it's time to open your eyes and look around and see if there's a place, there a positive place to use them. And that's often a good place to start walking towards, and see where it leads you. For me, that first interview, I had goosebumps, and I was like, I walked outside and the clouds had parted and the air was sparkling, and I went, I've been waiting for this since I was a child. Growing up, because I felt so bad about myself, I was sure I was meant to be a counselor, and I was in my master's in psychology, and I was going to make people better. And then I learned there was a 5% success rate, and my professor had had 2 suicides that year, and I went, whoa, that's not what I thought I was doing. So when I started interviewing, it scratched that itch again. It was like, why couldn't I find this earlier? It all comes to us at the right time. I had the freedom then to not worry about money. I had the freedom to explore this. My kids were not as dependent on me. So that's always my biggest piece of wisdom. And the other one is simply celebrate diversity and include it in your life. Your life shrinks the more you isolate yourself from people who are different from you.
I love what you're saying right now.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was. I put a quote in my second book, which is called The Wisdom of Listening, because it's sharing what you're asking me to share, and it's 39 chapters long, tiny chapters. But he talked about, I think he was from the United Nations, and he said, it is the very diversity of our human race that has made us rise above and keeps moving us forward. And one of the things I see happening right now is everybody shrinking into their groups because of what's going on, for good reason, for safety. But it's as we combine and share ideas, we come up with new ones. Nothing is created in a vacuum. You want the world to move forward. We can't be isolated. That's how you stagnate and die. And so I think when I come to the end, those are probably the most important things to me. And also the knowledge that it's okay that I don't like everybody. That's not a personal failing. It's okay if everybody doesn't like me. We're very different sometimes. And so, I have 2 things I do. One of them is when it comes to people, and I've got my eyes closed. I know you guys can't see because I want to get this right. I picture all the people around me as tree rings, and I'm the center. And those most important to me that are my Ujamaa tribe, which I will explain in a minute, are close. And other people drift out to where they're supposed to be in my life. And those that really want to be a negative are way at the outside edges. And people change. People move closer. People move out. It's a very fluid thing, and it's done without recrimination. It's done because you have to understand where people fit in your life and who needs to be close, and it's okay if some aren't close. So the other concept, and the first bit of wisdom, I literally sat in my chair and went, someone was sharing about a charity they founded, and they called it Ujamaa. And Ujamaa is one of the days in a festival called Kwanzaa, and it's an economic day. It's about the village coming together to work as a whole to raise everybody up. And that hit me profoundly. I'm not using it in the traditional sense, but that's how I began to determine who was in my tribe in my life. I would, every friendship, I'd say, is this a give and take? Do I support them? Are we in competition with each other, or are we working together? And then I began to look at my business relationships like that, and my life changed incredibly. My confidence level changed because I suddenly understood how to build a tribe. So that was the concept that works for me, and that won't work for everybody. So you got about four bits of wisdom there out of the hundreds and hundreds people have poured into my lap. So if I can encourage you to do anything is next time you're in a social situation, even the bus, put your phone down for a minute. Just stop and look around and see, is there anybody maybe you should be talking to? I've talked to security guards. I've done 5-stop interviews on the New York subway with an elevator repairman. Everybody hands me something funny, something profound, something to lighten my day, something they need from me. I have something that I'm supposed to share with them, but you can't do it unless you're open. And honestly, you'll know. You try to talk to somebody and go, meh, you know. But usually you can see who's open, who's kind of isolated. You can feel that draw. You get a real instinct about it as you start practicing. Mm-hmm. Start talking to the people around you, young, old, doesn't matter. Your life will change.
Such wise words, but also something that we're vastly losing in our world now because we're all glued to our phone. I always notice how I'm one of the very few attached to my phone when I'm on the bus, and yeah, sometimes it's hard to engage with people because we're all in our little worlds, yeah. And you know, it feels kind of awkward to yeah. interrupt that, yeah. that inward looking. But if we're so isolated, then that reciprocity, I hear reciprocity in a lot of the things yeah. that you're saying,
yes.
and how wisdom and how you sort of see and appreciate wisdom. Being this back and forth, this give and take, that it's not just something that is sort of bestowed,
yeah.
you know, that it's really an exchange.
It starts inside and moves outward. You can't change people, but you're not going to get from them what you don't offer them in return. Yeah, yeah. The other thing I always like to say is people give me a lot of advice, and I feel sometimes mixed about that until I understood how to deal with it, because it comes from a good place. And so you have two parts of you, your head that figures things out and your heart that knows your instincts, gut instincts, and when to leap. Often your head will tell you, it's your gut, yeah, you sign up for this, this is good. No, set it aside. But somebody said one time, what I do is do all the research first. I get everybody's advice, I listen to it, and when I feel I've had enough, I get really quiet and I turn my head off. And I try to see what my heart is telling me, because the heart takes all that information, thinks about it, and might offer you something totally creative, left of center, your head would never think of. So you don't have to just follow your heart and let your head rot, but let it do its job. But when it comes time to make a decision, turn it off and let all that learning that's in your body now come up with a really creative thing that your head can't conceive of. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really, really wise. And so now when people give me advice, when I've had enough, I say, okay, I've got enough advice, and then I can set it aside without guilt and decide what I want to do. I no longer feel required to do what anybody tells me. I'm always very clear that I'm just gathering information. And suddenly, the fact that they reach out to me feels good now, because I know how to handle it without feeling pressure. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so clear in my head sometimes. I hope the words are clear too.
Yeah, no, I resonate with that, because I think we do feel a certain level of responsibility to sort of work with what people give us, you know, yeah. And that there's something hard about not letting that piece of information shine in whatever the final product is, but ultimately it always does because you know, we've chewed on it, we've worked on it, it's incorporated into this, it's influenced something.
People have always been good to me, and because of that they want to protect me, they want to me to keep from making mistakes, and so sometimes they strongly disagree with the choices I was making, especially when I was a Conover magazine. I had set very strict guidelines as to who was in it and whether other people felt they were worthy or not. It was not about a judgment on worthiness, it was a judgment that I set up. And it was hard to have people say you shouldn't do this, but at the same time, once I learned that it's all advice, I could go home and say, am I making the right decision, and really think about it instead of being headstrong, I made this decision, I'm going to do it, you know. So it's people, for the most part, if you've got the right people around you, they do it for love, they do it because they want to protect you and they care about you, and sometimes you have to step out of being protected and cared about. So you get learned, you know, if people say, oh, you went ahead and did it, and I said, yeah, I really thought about it, this is the right decision for me, most people take that pretty good. We think they won't. We underestimate people. If we're very clear with them on expectations, guess what? We set ourselves up sometimes trying to be nice and not upset anybody. As soon as you're very clear, people are great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friends are great. I have tremendous tribe around me and support within the community. But I'm always clear with them. And they're clear with me. We don't pretend.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I could pretend that we have more time.
Oh, my goodness. I swear we had 15 minutes and now it 1 minute ago. Be brave, everybody. I just want to tell you, be brave. I'm gonna close really quickly because I know she has a closing. But William Orlowski, one of my favorite interviews, was a tap dancer in Canada that had been forgotten, and he was struggling with dystonia. I interviewed him probably 4 times, and every time, no matter what my question was, he ended the same way. He said, "There is no secret, just do and be brave." And he lived that, and he is still my inspiration today.
Say that again.
There is no secret. Just do and be brave. In other words, just get up and put one foot in front of the other. There's no secret. There's nothing you have to learn. You just have to get up and move forward. And I asked him like 20 different questions in 20 different ways, and I kept getting that one response, and now it is, I am so grateful for that gift. It took a while to sink in for me.
Yeah. Well, that is such a lovely way to end off the show. Thank you so much, Marilyn, for being my guest today.
I had a ball. Thank you so much.
This will be posted up on the old interweb, and you can listen to it in its entirety if you missed bits and pieces of it. And I will be back with episode 4.
And who is that on?
Well, I have a couple of guests in the works, so we'll see. It'll be posted up. Again, thanks so much.